Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to New Beginning, Ambassador for Christ. To God be the glory, giving him praise, honor, and magnify his holy name. Thank those that are listening in by phone and computer. Blessings to all. The peace of God. Shalom, each and every one. This is not a show for certain people. We don't talk about certain people. We don't have certain ideas. We have specifics pertaining to the kingdom of God and the people of God. And any and everyone that wants to listen, we speak through the word of God. And by his word, we are healed. By his word, we are saved. By his word, we are provided for. By his word, we have been reconciled back to God, our creator, redeemer, sustainer, and our judge. Praise God. Okay, good evening, Miss Margaret.
Good evening, sir.
How well are you?
Honey, I am fabulous. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good considering our situations. You know, we keep the Lord on his mind, and his word even tells us, whose mind is stayed on thee, he keeps us in perfect peace. So, no complaints.
Amen.
That's right. No complaints. None whatsoever. You know, I have this side effect to this hormone treatment for prostate cancer, and just irritates me so. And I've been talking about it, and the Spirit of the Lord told me, just keep your mouth shut. Wait till that time when I see the doctor. We'll do something about that. But stop complaining. And it's like, okay, you know, I didn't even realize I was complaining so much to each and every one. It's like I wanted to tell it, but there's no need to tell some things. Just wait on the Lord, and he'll provide. He'll take care of it for us. So I'm waiting. I'm waiting.
Oh, yes.
Yes, yes, yes. To God be the glory. Yes. How was your day or your week? How was your week?
Honey, it's been so fabulous. The Lord has blessed us so well. I've had some really, really magical days.
I
was able to get up in 3 minutes and all the way up level and steady. I was able to sit up for 32 minutes.
Yeah. Good.
And I was able to get back into bed in 2 minutes.
Yeah. Well, thank God for that. You know, I put a little something on Facebook not long ago, but I put something out there, you know, in case somebody wanted to talk about something or somebody's going through something or somebody's got a praise report. But what it was, let's have prayer first, and then we're going to get into it real quick. And I got a commentary on that very scripture that I put out there. And that scripture was Genesis 18, the 14th verse, the first line, Genesis 18 and 14. And that first line says, is anything too hard for the Lord? And we're going to talk about some of that, okay? And we truly thank God for your testimony. I tell you, he's so amazing. You know, sometimes we just can't even figure it out, you know? He leaves us scratching our head, you know what I'm saying? We just don't know. We don't know, no. But to glory to God, God be the
glory
to God. Yes, he gets the glory out of this, you know. We're not patting ourselves
on
the back.
Oh, yes, he does.
We're just spreading it around, letting people know that God is real, and if we seek him wholeheartedly and be sincere and trust and believe in him, he will do what he said he would.
Oh, yes.
Yes, that's truly a blessing. Okay, let's have prayer. And then we're going to jump into this thing here. Hopefully, there'll be some people listening by computer you know, they will be encouraged or get some hope from this, you know, and realize that there is a God. Now, I was watching a movie last night where this professor, he talked about the Freudian theory. Freudian theory is about this guy. He was his name is Freud, Dr. Freud. He believed that we came from animals. Yeah, he believed that. He really believed that. He put it out there. It's a popular theory, but to God be the glory. You know, if we came from animals, how did we start coming from animals? You know, how did that happen? You know, it's something people just can't explain, and they need to stop and think, okay, all right, it had to be a God or some very powerful entity, and there's only one that we know of, right? And that is the Almighty, yes, Jehovah, Yahweh, El Shaddai, the Almighty God. Okay? All right.
Oh, yeah.
Let's have prayer real quick, okay? Then we get started. I'm going to put you on mute for a couple of minutes, okay? All right?
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, all right. Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. Most High God in heaven and in earth and underneath, honor you, Lord. We truly honor you. As they say, our space in the building, our space in life, our position, Father God, in the kingdom. We know it had to be you, Father God, because you have all power, all knowledge, and you are ever present. We honor you, and truly, Lord God, we believe and trust in you to do what you said you would. You said you'd never leave us nor forsake us, Father God. We believe and we trust in you no matter what we're going through in this life, Father God, no matter what we've been through, Father God. We know it had to be you that brought us out, Lord. It was not us, and it was not the next man in line. It wasn't the president that passed the law that brought us out. It wasn't the drug rehab, Father God. It wasn't the counselors, Father God. It was you, my God. And we thank you for the blessings of life, health, and strength. Thank you for providing for us, Father God, keeping us in a sound mind, keeping us in your word, Father God. Any and everything we need is written in your word. And your word has been settled in heaven. And I truly honor you, and I truly thank you, God. Now we ask that you bless bereaved families. Apostle Armstrong, he lost his wife today. And we ask you, Father God, to comfort the family. Allow them to have peace, Lord. In her passing, Father God, she was my sister-in-law. And I've been praying all along, and now we offering up special prayers for him and my nephews and niece, yes, God, to provide for them and take them through, Lord God. It's a hard thing, Father God, when there's death in our families and we're not prepared for it, Lord. We're truly not prepared to lose a loved one. But we know that you're able, Father God, to comfort their heart and to keep them, Father God. Protect them from the evil one, because they're vulnerable at this time, God. Thanking you, Father God, for allowing us to be in our right mind, Father God, to keep you, helping us to walk in newness of life each and every day, Father God, separating us from the past. And for us not to look back, Father God, because your word says, he who looks back, he who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom. So help us, Father God, to stay the course, to stand, Father God, to progress in our life, progress in your word, Father God, and share that with others, Lord God. I realize that I can't keep it unless I give it away, and I truly thank you for this ministry, Father God, from the Crown Talk and Drum Radio Network. It is an honor, Father God, for you to use me. It's not about me, but it's all about you, Lord. And I truly thank you for my life, health, and strength. Thank you for my wife, Lord God. Thank you for how you have blessed us and blessed me through my illnesses, Father God. If it's not one thing, it's another, but you have always brought me through. And here I am again, Father God. You're taking me through. And I truly thank you for that, Father God. I stay in your care, Lord God. And you've been blessing my wife with a headache, Father God. I truly thank you for that, God. Only you can do that, Lord. Our neighbors on either side, we live peaceably with them, Father. Honoring you, God, we give you the praise because we couldn't have done it, Lord God. It was you, Father God. And we share that word of yours, Father God, with neighbors. I share that word at work, Father God, with my clients and other staff members, Father God, letting them know that I wasn't born like this. Praise God. And you brought me out, and you're still holding me up. And I truly thank you, Father God. We ask you to watch over those homeless people. It seems I see more and more each and every day, men and women, Father God. There's so many homeless, Lord God. They're living in the woods, Father God. They're living in empty buildings, Father God. They're just on the street, Lord. Watch over and keep them. Protect them, Father God. And put that thought in their head, Father God, that you are the only way to go. Your son. You sent your son into the world that not to condemn the world, but through him the world might be saved. And we truly thank you for saving us, Father God, in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus Christ. Bless our leaders, Father God. Give them the instincts, Father God, to go the way they should go for the people, not against the people, Father God, and be for the rich and the powerful in the world. But you're all-powerful, God. You are all-powerful. And your son, he came into the world, and he died, Father God. They thought that they killed him, but he laid his life down. And in 3 days, he picked his life back up. And when he rose from the dead that third day, Father God, he rose with all power in his hand, all power in heaven, all power in the earth, all power underneath the earth, all power everywhere, even the most powerful man in the world in this lifetime, in any lifetime, Jesus, he is more powerful than them. Yes, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. We honor you, Father God. And lastly, but not least, those people that are in the war-torn countries, Father God, the Sudan, Asia, Europe, the Philippines, Australia, Japan, China, my God, we ask you, Father God, the Ukraine and Russia, yes, God, we ask you, Father God, to protect the people, Father God, make a way for them out of no way, because all that they have has been destroyed, Lord, all but their lives and their minds. We ask in Jesus Christ's name, Father God, that you preserve them and keep them as you have kept us, supplying our every need. And we truly thank you for the time that we have tonight, Lord. Thank you, God. We give you the praise. Ask you to bless those that are listening, again, by phone and by computer, Lord. This word is for them as well as us. It's not about us, but it's about us sharing what we have to help the next man, woman, boy, and girl. And we give you the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen and amen. Praise God. Praise God. Okay. I put out a, I usually don't jump on Facebook that regular, but tonight I put a little something out there on Facebook and, excuse me, and is this, Genesis 18. Verses 14a. 14a is the first line. Only consists of a few words, but is very powerful in its meaning. When understood, it lets us know that there is no greater power anywhere than that of the Lord. Praise God. And it was to have those to call in to exchange comments about how hard it was for us to accept Jesus the Christ. Praise God. Okay. Again, thank you for listening in. Miss Margaret, like I said, you're a trooper. And I truly thank God for you and for you to share your testimony, for you to be encouraged. There is hope in Christ Jesus, and we are praying for you. We are praying for you. We are praying with you. God will continue to see you through with these praise reports. And if it's well with you,
we
share them with others that we come in contact with. I'd like to share them.
Go ahead, honey. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Because there's always someone in need, and it's not necessarily people that we see that are in need. There are people, they put on a facade, which means they dress up the outside, but on the inside they're empty and they're hurting, and they're in need. And they don't advertise it, but we ask God to help this person, help that person, help the ones that we don't even realize need help, you know, because we were in that thing for once upon a time, and we don't realize it. We don't realize it. We may have had most things that we wanted through life, but there was a couple of times when we had to cry. You know, we had to shuffle a few things around in our own understanding, in our own mind, to get things done, but it was God. Story goes, one planted, another watered, but God, he gave the increase. So we can't pat ourselves on the back. He deserves all the honor. He gets all the glory, you know, because, man, we were made out of the dust of the ground, which has no, there's no profit. The dust is nothing. The dust, there's no value in the dust whatsoever. We're not made out of the dirt. We're made out of the dust. You know what I'm saying? And that stuff we see when the wind rises, that's the stuff we see flying in the air. It's useless, you know? Okay? All right, let's get started here. And again, I'm going to read this Genesis 18, chapter 18, verse 14a, the first line. And it says, is anything too hard for the Lord? Okay? Now, we can ask ourselves, and not necessarily ask ourselves, but we can just tell ourselves, we know ain't nothing too hard for the Lord, because that's how we got where we're at right now, because of him and his power. Yes. Okay, let me read this disclaimer first real quick for the Crown Talking Drum Radio Network, okay? The views and opinions expressed on the Crown Talking Drum Radio Network are solely those of the host, guests, and call. These views and opinions do not represent those of the Crown Talking Drum Radio Network, its management, or other hosts or advertisers. All right? Now, as I said, the topic or the subject of discussion this evening is there anything too hard for the Lord? ? Now, I have a commentary here, and I'm going to read a little sum of it to let us know just what's what. Okay. All right. Let's see. Okay, Sarah and Abram, they were in the tent, out on the in the wilderness. I consider it wilderness because they weren't in the city or town. And the Lord and an angel, they came upon them, and we presumed that it was the Lord. I believe it was the Lord speaking to Abram, changed his name to Abraham, and told him, said, your wife, Sarah, will have a son about this time next year, the time of fulfillment, which with the woman being pregnant 9 months. So his wife, she was in the tent listening, and she giggled, you know what I'm saying? And the Lord heard her, you know, and he told her, he said, yes, you're going to have a child in that time, when that time comes next year. And she truly didn't believe it, but the Lord told her, yes, because they were up in age. And she said, am I going to have pleasure in my life at this time, I think she was, what, 80 or 90-some years old?
89.
And that's,
89.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. That's what this is all about, y'all. I don't know it all. Thank you. Yes.
You're so welcome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I see. God helped Abraham through another crisis in faith by new names for himself and Sarah, by the covenant seal of circumcision, and by assurance that Sarah would yet have a son. Abraham received enough reinforcement that he could go on holding to the hope of his covenant with God. Because, see, in God's time, it's not our time, you know. And Abraham, they're thinking, oh, my God, I'm not going to have an heir of my own from my own loin, an heir that I can pass whatever I have on to him, you know. He did have a son through Sarah's, well, that time her name was Sarai, Sarai's handmaiden, Hagar. His name was Ishmael, but he wasn't of the promise, okay? So it kept going and going and going. And then it said, the word of the Lord was, Sarah, your wife, shall bear your son. And it told him, it said, Ishmael will become the father of a nation of people, but Isaac will be the son through whom the covenant and the work of redemption would be carried forward. And they would last within a year of the time when his birth would take place. Okay? Now, let's see. Where am I at right here? Okay. Oh, let's see. Okay. All right. The covenant was also reaffirmed by God. Three visitors, the divine messengers who stopped by Abraham's tent on their way to Sodom. You know? Okay. Now, the practice of hospitality, such as Abraham showed here, was an important feature of life in that ancient desert culture, in which such sparsely settled areas, travelers were often dependent upon Bedouin herdsmen, such as Abraham, for any shelter or provision. So in other words, people traveling by, you know, there was no highways and byways and airways and pathways and waterways, pathways, you know. There was none of that. They were just going through the desert on a trail, walking with their animals and whatever else. And there would be people camped out here and there, and they would stop through, you know. And then even the word tells us, you know, there are times when we may entertain angels. You know, they're strangers. We entertain strangers, which could be angels. In other words, not to turn anyone away. And there's a scripture that deals something about don't withhold from your neighbor when you have it to give, you know. So this is like sharing, you know. You can't, I always say, you can't keep it unless you give it away. And that's whatever you have, food, finances, help, you know, ideas, you know, encouragement, prayers, you know. We have to share these things with other people because there would come a time in our life, guess what? We're going to need somebody. And you never can tell, it might wind up being that same person that we kicked to the curb, you know. But to God be the glory. Once we change our lives and separate from the world, get that understanding of the truth of who God really is and why God really is, and what our position in his plan is, you know, we have to come to that understanding. I always say we're not here just to have a job or to get sick and go to the doctor or, you know, be admitted to the hospital, you know, have kids, have a nice house. We're not here for that. That's a blessing from God as we go through this life, you know. But we're here to worship God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. But it seems that people love themselves more than they love their neighbors and anybody else, you know. And this is what it's coming to these days, you know. This is what it's coming to. Now, in Margaret's case, is anything too hard for the Lord? Now, in Martha's position, nothing. There you go. Nothing's too hard. Because with man, he will experiment with some drugs. You know what I'm saying? They'll give you some shots. They'll give you some pills. See how they work on you to try and get you to come back to your normal state of living, you know? Use of your arms, use of your legs, feet, you know what I'm saying? And you could be self-sufficient instead of being in a facility where you're at, you know? God's plan is life for people, you know what I'm saying? Not for us to be broke down, but his son, Jesus Christ, came into the world, so God knows. He knows what we have to go through. Some people, they're dealt with more than others. But God knows, you know what I'm saying? It ain't for us to say, man, why me? You know, why I got to go through this? Why can't be that guy over there down the street? He acting up, you know? Or why is it that the center man, he got all this stuff, and I'm scratching and scraping. I can't hardly get nothing. You know, it's not for us to go through them changes, you know? God knows what we can stand. He knows what we're going through. He knows why we're going through, and he knows our end. He knows how it's going to end up. But if we stop and think, say, wait a minute, I'm going through this for a reason. For a reason. This is life, period. It could be anybody going through these changes. You know what I'm saying? And with me, when I first came down here, I had issues with my thyroid. Boom. You know, doing the drugs in New York and New Jersey, I wasn't sick at all. I stopped the drugs. God got me off the drugs, the cigarettes and the drinking. Saved my life. Saved my soul. And sent me back to my wife. And I get down here, North Carolina. I get down here and I'm sick. Now, I'm sick. What is my problem? Why am I sick? You know, what is it? Is it something in the air? You know, something in the water? You know, but once I get an understanding of what's going on, it's what has been dealt to me in my lifetime. It's not because I did anything wrong. It's not because I did anything good the way that I have to go in my life. And after the thyroid, here come the collapsed lungs. I think it was four or five collapsed lungs. God took me through that, you know, and one particular one, they had no beds here in this city. They had no beds in Charlotte. They had no bed in Winston-Salem. They had a bed in Asheville, which was a good hour away in the mountain. So they transported me up there. Was it 12, 1 o'clock at night? The ambulance came from there to transport me. Took me up there. I had to lay on a stretcher until 7 o'clock in the morning. They found the room. Now, during that time, they were going to put a tube in my chest because that's how they treat collapsed lungs. But they decided not to wait till they get me in a room. So I got in the room, and they come with this treatment. Didn't know anything about it. They come at the last minute and told me what's going on. So they pulled the tube. There was a tap on the end of the tube, so they took that off. And this nurse, she come and she injected some stuff in there. She said it was like a powder, like talc. Powder. It was supposed to stick to my chest cavity, and so the lung would stick to the chest cavity, and it inflated itself. My God, she put that stuff in there, and I got the hollering and yelling, and her and the nurse, the floor nurse, they left. They closed the door. They left, closed the door, didn't come back. It was about an hour. I'm in there just yelling and hollering, and by me doing, I couldn't hear nothing. Seemed like everything was quiet outside of my room. But I was yelling and hollering for the longest. And the devil told me, said, you need to just curse her out. That's what he put in my mind, you know. I was hurting so bad. You need to just cuss her out. And I'm like, why is that coming on my mind? I don't have cursing in my heart. I don't have cursing in my mind. I don't have cursing in my life. But it was because of the pain, and the devil thought he had me, you know. So I endured. I hollered and I cried, and you know, because I was hooked up to tubes. There was a tube running in my chest, you know, so I couldn't get up, you know. But I went through that. And here the next day, they come back with another dish of the same thing. I didn't know what's going on, but I thought they were trying something different. Here they go, same old deal. Same deal. You know, and I hollered and I carried on. Why are you doing this to me? You know what I'm saying? Why are you doing this to me? And something kept telling me in my head, just forgive them. They're doing their job, you know, and they don't know what's going on. And I'm thinking they had to have administered this to somebody where they was carrying on like I was carrying on. But I endured. I had no other choice. I had to go through. I went through, told angel of the Lord, or the spirit of the Lord told me, just forgive her. She's just doing her job. But I dealt accordingly, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, why are they doing this to me? You know? But I understood it was what I had to go through in my life. You know? I couldn't have it easy. I couldn't have my cake and eat it too. But I went through. And after the lung collapses, here comes the prostate cancer. You know? And my mind is clear. So, like, okay, all right. I got prostate cancer. So what? What's that supposed to mean? You know? Something I got to go through. You know, they can treat me. I can pray to God if he's going to heal me. I believe he has healed me, but I'm still going through the treatment until I see the doc next month. And that's when we're really going to have a talk about what's going on in my life. You know, he has to give me some, facts about the outcome of the test. They take a blood test with a lot of results. So going through. You know, and there's nothing too hard for the Lord. I know he can heal without a problem, you know, but I'm not worried about that because I'm trying to serve him as best as I can. And that's what it's all about. It's not about him healing me so I can serve him. No, it's about how much stuff I can go through and still serve him, you know, knowing that he can heal me, but not necessarily looking for that because to be absent from the Lord, be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Like Paul said, you know, serving him here, passing along whatever the Lord gives me to somebody else. And if my life is taken, I'll be present with the Lord. So, hey, I come out a winner anyway, doesn't it? No. So, is anything too hard for the Lord, y'all? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Does anybody have any idea what could be too hard for the Lord? Does anybody know anything about any kind of situation that could be too hard for the Lord? Anybody?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're still good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, basically, there's nothing too hard for God, but the hard thing for God is to get people to understand him. The hard thing for God is to get understanding by the human race. Those who refuse to acknowledge him, those who refuse to know who he is, why he is, and everything. That's what's too hard for me to understand why people are refusing him when he is the supreme authority on everything.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That is so true. And, you know, there were times when I was getting high, and I had the Bible right there, you know. I get high, and I sit there and read the Bible a little bit, you know, and it's like, what are you doing? Why are you reading the Bible? You know, it's sitting right there, you know. And it wasn't because Satan was trying to make a fool out of me or make God look bad. No, it's because it was already in me, raised up in the church. And there was a time I was a young teenager. My mother would, she said, on Sundays, right, I'd be up there in the bed. There's sometimes when I sleep 10, 12 hours straight, you know what I'm saying, and then still didn't want to give up. So she told me she would be going to church. She would tell me, she said, you better have my dinner cooked by the time I come back from church. You know what I'm saying? So you know what I did? I learned how to cook. I learned how to cook. And I wasn't in the kitchen the whole time she was gone either. You know what I'm saying? I had that thing down packed. So her dinner was cooked when she got back from church, and I was in the bed, y'all. You know? I found a way to do it. You know, just like now, serving the kingdom, I found a way to do it. You know what I'm saying? Reading the word, praying, being around God's people, you know, letting people know just how good God is, you know, and letting people know if I was doing drugs, crack cocaine for 20 years, and you ain't never did drugs, you ain't never drank a beer, but you ain't saved, you know, how hard would it be for God to save you? And you ain't never experienced none of that stuff in the street, you know? But a person would have to be ready and willing to give up the world. Like you said, that's the hard thing for God. To get a person to realize, understand. They need to give up their worldly life, get it right, search out the Spirit, start praying, and the Spirit of God, it will reveal to a person, you know, what's coming down the pike and what we need to do to prepare ourselves. Because these days, the way things are now, it ain't no joke, y'all. You know, I go to work, and I come home, I stop and get what we need, so when I get home, I don't have to go out. Or that my wife doesn't have to be out there. No matter where it's at, Walmart, you know, you hear about these incidences and these assaults any and everywhere, you know. People's, carjackings and people just getting shot down because somebody's mad at somebody, you know. We can't hide too much, you know, because it's even happening in the home. It's happening in the home, you know. That guy in Texas, he was shooting his weapon off. So his neighbor came over, nice guy, came over and asked him if he would, you know, chill out on shooting his weapon to scare the child. And he went back home, right? So this guy, he takes it upon himself and goes over it. He kills everybody in the house. The kid, too. You know what I'm saying? So we don't know where this stuff is coming from. Well, we know it's coming from the enemy, but we don't know where or even who. There's some people in their right mind, they're just doing it. The devil is taking control of their mind, and they're being condemned, you know, killing people and killing themselves. And with them killing themselves, they have no way out. They don't have no way out. No way out. They're lost. They are lost. So, just to prepare ourselves and to understand and realize there is nothing too hard for the Lord. Nothing too hard for the Lord. And if we think and believe there's something too hard for the Lord, then we got a problem. Because in Genesis 1, and what does it tell us? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And then also, over here in 2, is that in 2? Let's see. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right here. Thus the heavens and earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God worked which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God had created. Now, and here it is over here. This was after God made man. He made all the animals, all the trees, the grass, the plants, the fish, the birds. Chapter 1, verse 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. It was very good. Very good. Not just good, y'all. It was very good. Very good. So there was no sin in the world. And Adam and Eve were in the garden, but the enemy was there too. The enemy was there. Satan, he's a spirit, and he got into the serpent, which we call a snake. He got into the serpent, and the serpent beguiled Eve, convinced Eve that God tried to keep something from you, you know, and you know, he's telling Eve, but talking to Adam, because see, Adam was that got the law. God gave the law to Adam. And so the woman we're supposed to treat the woman as the weaker vessel. So the enemy, he knew that. That's why he went after the woman and knew that the woman, she had to be fine like that. You know, she had to be looking mighty, mighty good to give her husband something that he knew he wasn't supposed to have. And he was there, and he took of what she gave him, and boom, both their eyes were open, and sin had entered in. They knew they was naked, and here they go running around getting coverage, throwing leaves together to cover their bodies because they realized they were naked. And that was the beginning of sin. They disobeyed God. And they were off and running, and here we are. We're dealing with the same sin, systemic sin, and then to our own disobedience, you know. But there is nothing too hard from God. He can heal. He can bless. He can bring. He can protect. He can change world situations, you know. He can. All right. That's enough of me talking. We got some minutes here. Anyone have a comment? Anyone?
Well, I will say that on Facebook I did the last stage, and what you talked about is truly from 2 Timothy 3:1-5.
Yep.
And it says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unfaithful, unholy, without natural affection, truth speakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good."
That's right.
Traitors.
That's right. You
guys. Petty, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of kindness, but denying the powers thereof.
And the power thereof.
So, yes. We are living in that time right now.
Yes, we are.
Man is trying to come up with, he's trying to come up with ways to make things better. But man's just making things worse. Things get worse and worse. And I think the only way that you can dissolve a problem is go back to the beginning. Just like when God saw that the sin in the world was so great, he told Noah to make an ark, and 8 souls were saved. 8 souls. Everybody in the world was destroyed because sin was so great. And man's thought was sin continually. And God, he got rid of that. That's the only way to do it. Man can't come up with no law to make things better.
No.
Come on, sis. You got to come.
Man's making laws where it's making sin people easy to commit sin. That's what they're doing. They're making laws for us where they can commit sin that be the law. But that's just the Bible fulfilling. You know, it's the Bible fulfillment, like Samara just read. Truth, right? Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Disobedient to parents, doing all this stuff is already in the Word, and it's the Bible fulfilling right before our eyes. Not gonna get any better. It's gonna get worse and worse. But we as people of God know things, and we just have to draw closer to God. Is anything too hard for God? No. God can do anything but sin. And for us do is to draw closer to God. And if God gives us the opportunity to witness to somebody, tell them about the goodness of God. Because he saved us, and he's able to save them also, but they have to want it. They have to want Jesus. And tell them what God does for us. Nobody beyond being saved. Only the sin against the Holy Ghost. We can talk against the Son, but when you sin against the Holy Ghost, no forgiveness. But we have witnessed when God gives us our opportunity, we witness and tell somebody about the goodness of Jesus. because nothing, God didn't do anything but fail.
Mm.
And he's still working miracles. He's still working miracles. Every time we wake up in the morning, that's a miracle. Because we can't wake up ourselves. We can't wake up ourselves. God is a good God. And he's still taking care of his people. But what is happening today is already fulfilled in the word of God. There's nothing new under the sun. What's happened tomorrow, it's already done happened in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So what all these things come to pass, it's done been said in the Bible. So we just to just live holy because we don't know when he's going to call our name. We just have to be ready, though, because he's coming back for his church.
Yes,
but we don't know when he might call an individual. People's dying every day, but we don't know when he's going to call our name. But we just have to be ready to go.
That's right. We have to be ready, no matter who we are.
Yes, we have to be ready.
And the position that we are in, or title we hold, God, he is the ultimate authority. You know, he is the not man, but God is the ultimate authority. We go to God for any and everything. Of course, we got doctors and lawyers, but we pray to God first, and God will lead us. And which way to go to get results.
Yes, it will. So he tells us all thy ways, acknowledge him.
And he'll
He will.
That's right. He will.
Yes, he will.
So we can say now, there's nothing too hard for God. And then the world is asking us, is there anything too hard for God?
No.
There is nothing too hard for God because God, he is the creator of the world. So he knows what's going on everywhere. He knows what's going on in that ant hole side, you know. He knows what's going on with that dog back and forth, you know. He knows.
He does.
Yes. And it's for us to worship and praise him for our being, because we didn't get here on our own, you know.
No.
We weren't made in no test tube. You know, we just didn't happen from no big boom. God created in the beginning. God created everything.
He created it.
Everything sin. And it was very good before the enemy stepped in, and sin caused everything to start to deteriorate or rot.
We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Yes,
amen.
We are. That's right.
Amen. Yes, amen.
Yes.
Praise God, praise God. Okay. I wanted to read this real I wanted to read this about faith. Now, if we believe and trust in God, we need to have faith in him that he will do what he said he would do. You know? But we have to separate ourselves. We have to realize, understand that God, he is not on the level with man. You know? He is not on the level with the president. You know? He is not on the level with Putin. You know? He's not on the level with Jung over there in North Korea. He's not on the level of none of those. He created them, but they took it upon themselves to live their life the way they are living. It was their choice. But there is nothing too hard for God that if they want to, they can change their ways. All they have to do is ask God to come into their life or Jesus Christ to come into their life. Okay? And it's a belief system. You know, I have a job, right? And I'm working because I like to work and I like doing what I'm doing. But the main thing, basically, is the paycheck. I go to work on Monday. I don't get no paycheck on Monday. You know, I have faith. You know, at the end of the week, I'm going to get my check, right? So I go to work on Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
I don't get no paycheck on Tuesday, but I'm believing and have faith in the company or the job that I'm going to get paid at the end of the week or when pay period is up. Okay, here's Wednesday. Same thing. It's 3 days I'm going to work and ain't got nothing. But, as I said, I have faith that I'm going to get paid when that time comes. Thursday, here comes Friday. Okay? Most jobs, you have to put in a week before you get paid, right? So here, I'm working 2 weeks. I just started my job, right? I'm working 2 weeks and ain't got no paycheck. You know? I done spent gas. I done spent money for lunch. You know? I done wore my body down some. You know? Wear and tear on the car. You know? And I ain't got paid yet. But I have faith that I'm going to get a paycheck. So we have to have that same faith in God because he said so, you know, just like the job tells us. You put in this time, you get paid for this time. God tells us that we have faith in him, you know, nothing's impossible. There's nothing too hard for God. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, you know. Then here's another one. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Okay? Now, I had to get some faith in my life. After God saved me and brought me off the drugs, I had to have faith that, wow, he was able to bring me off the drugs. Now what am I going to do? You know, I'm on my own now. No, I wasn't on my own. I had to have that same faith for God to work in my life to take me where he wanted me to be, you know. And my faith had to grow. It had to grow from situation to situation. And that's another way that we learn. We learn from experience. And we can share that experience with whoever comes along, you know. And God, he allows us to share with the next man in line. Now, if my story ain't worth nothing, God, he's not going to allow me to tell it, you know, because I'll be glorifying the world or glorifying the sin instead of glorifying him, you know. And we used to call that war story, telling a war story, you know. Oh, man, I was king of the hill, you know. I did this and I did that. You know, I did a lot of that stuff too, but that stuff, it doesn't glorify God and it don't make me look no better. It makes people think, oh, man, he used to love doing what. I wonder if he's still doing that behind closed doors. He probably still sneaking over there getting a drink or smoking a joint, you know. But it's all in the way that we believe and present ourselves. We're supposed to present ourselves blameless, you know. Blameless, and our bodies are a temple, you know, that the Holy Ghost dwells in. That's the Spirit of God, and that's where we need to be, you know, that's where we need to be. And there is nothing too hard for God. We hear people complaining, and when we share, people, they tell us this and tell us that, but it's not about the details. We shouldn't be wanting to know any details about anything. If people have a problem, they need prayer, let's pray. Let's pray. You don't have to tell me every step or every detail of what happened. We don't need to do that because before you know it, we'll have a mind full of stuff that somebody else done did. What are we going to do with it? You know, we just holding on to it. Okay? That's just information. Oh, they was just telling me what we want to know. We don't need none of that, you know. But there's nothing too hard for God. If he can, if his son can bring the dead back to life, and even his son, Jesus Christ, if he can lay his life down and then take it back up, you know, it can't be nothing too hard for God. There's nothing too hard for God. Nothing. Nothing so too hard. Okay, we got 5 minutes. Any more comments?
Okay, well, I just want to tell you, if you have something that, if you have time, go to Facebook and read my message or see it, because I talked about all the tips, the body being a temple of the Lord. I talked about all of that.
Uh-huh. Okay. When did you put it on there? Today? This evening?
No, it's been on there since last week. You'll have to scroll down to it. Do you want me to send it to you in an email?
I saw that. I saw it, yeah. I saw it. No, don't send it to me in the email because my phone, I had problems with my phone for about a week. I sent it to Apple. They took the SIM card out. took the SIM card out. I lost all of my contacts. I didn't have one contact in the phone. And
do you
want
me to
take
my stuff?
No, it's coming back. The wife got it. I got it from the wife, yeah. I just don't want to lose nothing. I don't want to lose nothing. I can get off Facebook, and I can give it to my page, and then I can save it. See, a lot of stuff, I save that stuff, you know, and I go back to it later on.
Okay, because
okay,
I tell you, I've done sin. I've done being holy. I've done a whole lot. I mean, honestly, it's been amazing to what I have done on Facebook. It is all the things that the Lord has told me to do.
Yeah, right. I know you got a whole lot because you tested me some too. Now I think I don't even have the text. The text messages, they gone too. They gone. They are gone, huh? But I tell you what, I'm slowly getting my information back. So in about a week or so, I'll let you know when you can send me some emails, okay? All right.
Okay, that'll be fine. But I tell you, the Lord has been using me. And real quickly, there was one yesterday. I was talking about the end times, and he sent me back a text, and he said what a powerful message. He said I promised the Almighty God that I serve Him for the rest of my life. So through that one message, I got somebody saved.
Well, praise
so the Lord
God.
Got somebody
praise
saved. You want me?
Yes, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Working for the kingdom, not for ourselves, but that's what it's all about. Bringing others to salvation. Bringing others to get saved. That's what it's all about. Yeah. Okay. All right. Great show, Margaret. Great show. Let me know when you want to get on, because some Thursdays I come in from work and it's like there's stuff I need to do around here, around the house, and it's like, wow, I need some help, y'all. But anytime you want to do the show, you know, I can lay back and chill while you do your thing. All right? Just let me know now. All right?
I sure will.
Sounds good. Okay. All right. Let's have a prayer real quick. I'll let you lead us out in prayer, Miss Margaret, if you would, please.
I sure will.
Yes, thank you.
Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, I thank you for this night. I thank you for the blessings of being on this program, Lord. Thank you because of each and every one that is out here, Lord. Thank you for the comments. Thank you for the directions. Mm-hmm. Thank you because we are able to worship you together. Lord, I praise your holy righteous name, Lord. We thank you because you've been too good to each and every one of us. Lord, we honor you. We praise you. We glorify you. You are so amazing. Thank you, Lord, for everything you have done, are doing, and will do. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Touch
yes.
each every soul, Lord.
Yes.
The problems that Deacon is having, Lord, touch him specially. Help him
thank
with
you.
All this. Lord,
yes,
I thank
Lord.
You. I praise your holy right
yes.
to save. Lord, you're so amazing. You've done so much for me, to me, and
thank
because
you.
Of me, Lord. I praise you. I thank you, Lord.
Thank
you are
yes.
so wonderful. I
yes,
love you, Lord.
Are.
I adore you.
Yes.
I magnify you. I lift you up because
yes.
you are so
oh.
worthy.
Yes.
So thank you for seeing me. Lord, I thank
yes.
you for seeing
yes.
me. So I praise
yes.
you. I love you. I honor you. I lift you
glory.
Up.
Yes.
I magnify your holy, righteous,
yes.
glorious name.
Yes.
Lord, thank you for all the gathered that we have. Thank you for letting me be a part of this. Lord, thank you.
Shalom.
Lord, this I praise you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I love you. Amen. Amen. Amen.
And amen. Shalom.
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 The Lord, praise God.